WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Yesterday evening, the embattled Prime Minister of Thailand, Suchinda Krapayun, and the leader of that country's pro-democracy movement, Chemlong Srumong, met with the King of Thailand, a meeting televised on national TV. Kneeling before the monarch, they reached an agreement to end the clashes that have spilled blood in Bangkok since the beginning of this week. Many of the thousands of jailed protesters have now been freed, and the government said they would push for a constitutional amendment requiring the prime minister to be an elected official, which Suchinda is not. We wanted to find out where things stand now, so earlier today we phoned New York Times correspondent Philip Sheenan, who's based in Bangkok. The king was able to bring calm to the country. I wanted to know what kind of authority he has.
He has a tremendous spiritual authority among Thais of all walks of life. I think many of us who have not been in this region for a particularly long period of time have been startled by how much Thais revere their royal family. This is a reverence that you do not find in places like England, where the royal family comes under intense and rather personal scrutiny. Here the king really is almost a god to his people. There is enormous love for him, and the fact that he would intervene and request calm and peace and some sort of compromise among all the various parties could well put this situation on the road to resolution, though that is not assured at this moment.
Does his spiritual authority then translate into political authority?
It does to some extent, though he is quite careful about using it. In 1932, there was a coup in this country in which the concept of the absolute monarchy was overthrown. The nation retained a royal family, but it's been very touch and go over the course of the last six decades as to how much power, absolute power, or I'm sorry, not absolute power, but how much power the king has in terms of making any sort of real, in terms of making political decisions for Thailand.
Why do you think the king waited until yesterday to bring these two forces together?
Nobody is quite sure why. There have been reports that the king has been working behind the scenes virtually since the day this began, that would have been Monday, to get some sort of resolution. There have also been reports that the military for the first 48 hours prevented the king from taking any part in this, indeed prevented him from addressing the nation via radio and television.
There have been other demonstrations in Thailand in the past. Anything unique about this particular one?
What is startling a lot of the organizers of these demonstrations, if indeed there are real organizers at this point, is that the middle class and the upper class of Thailand are participating. These are, you know, business people, academics, the intelligentsia, people who in many ways never participated before in political matters, certainly hadn't become involved 20 years ago when students, primarily students, rose up to overthrow a military dictatorship. This time it really is all segments of Thai society getting involved, from the poor to the rich, from the young to the old. This is really Thailand's version of people power, what people saw in the Philippines in 1986.
I was reading one of the articles that you wrote in the New York Times, and you quoted a Thai man who said that he could live with government corruption, and he has for many years, but he couldn't abide the lies of Suchinda. Is that the general feeling of the people?
I think people feel and have been living for an awfully long time under military-dominated governments. But there seems to be something very different about their attitude towards General Suchinda, who up until last month was the army commander, arguably the most powerful man in Thailand. There's a feeling that there is for the people of Thailand a loss of face in accepting as prime minister a man who vowed that he would not take this job and then quickly did, a man who vowed he would not accept into his government cabinet ministers who had were corrupt, but then quickly did. There's a feeling that General Suchinda, through his numerous broken promises, has insulted the dignity of the people of Thailand. That, I will say, though, that what these series of demonstrations seem to have proved, however, is that it does indeed go beyond General Suchinda. There's a feeling that after six decades of military rule, a nation like Thailand, which is rapidly developing. It has one of the fastest growing economies on earth, a well-educated middle class, a well-educated upper class, a strong cultural background. It simply has outgrown the idea of generals making all the decisions in the government. There's a feeling that it's time for something like a true democracy here. People talk about what has happened over the last several years in South Korea, what has happened in the Philippines, and they look an awful lot to the United States as a model for what they would like to be.
Under these 60 years of military rule, what kinds of freedoms have the people of Thailand had?
This is not an authoritarian state as you would find in Vietnam or Burma or until recently Cambodia. There is a real sense of freedom, certainly freedom of thought and of expression to a large degree. The newspapers here are about as lively and unrestrained as any you'll find in the world, and they have been exceedingly tough on General Suchinda. In fact, I think it will certainly be written in Thai history that the newspapers of Thailand, not the broadcast networks, not the television or radio, but the newspapers of Thailand have played a very large role in seeing these demonstrations through, in making it clear to General Suchinda that he does not have public support. But in terms of economic freedom, in terms of the ability of someone to, how would I phrase this? If you want to get into one of the nation's more prestigious colleges or universities, if you want to find a job in a prestigious government ministry, oftentimes if you want to find a job in one of the nationalized companies, you have to know a general, you have to know an admiral, you have to know somebody with pull in the military to get you those things. And that is very offensive to a lot of Thais.
Chamlong Srimong, the pro-democracy leader, was arrested this Monday. What kind of democratic change does he represent?
Nobody is quite sure, to be honest. He is a very devout Buddhist who seems to offer a sort of challenge that the governments of Thailand have never before experienced, the leaders of Thailand have never before experienced. He represents an ideology, a pure Buddhist ideology, one in which one does not seek material gain, in which one seeks a certain spiritual harmony that the Thais, a more worldly group than most, have rejected over the years. He clearly wants to produce, however, for Thailand a far less corrupt government, a government that would be far more democratic, representative of the will of the people, if you will, if that's not aggrandizing him a bit too much.
How deep does corruption in the country go?
It's enormous. Within the military, you see generals with official salaries that are quite small, living exceedingly comfortable lives, mansions, fancy cars, exorbitant vacations, jewelry. You see an awful lot of Mercedes in the street, the Mercedes-Benzes in the streets of Bangkok being driven by generals who are being paid $15,000 a year. I don't know quite how you explain that unless there's something fishy going on. There's an awful lot of involvement, we understand, between the generals and the drug trade in Thailand. There's an awful lot of involvement by the generals in industrial development, in which generals finish up on corporate boards, finish up as corporate executives when they simply have no background for those jobs, but are able to impose themselves simply because the military controls so much of Thai life.
Have there ever been any kind of government investigations?
Of the generals, no, because the generals simply wouldn't allow it. And I think part of what's going on here, why we have such a violent reaction from the government this week, is that the generals are very fearful that if they lose their control of the government, there will be investigations to find out how they came by their wealth, investigations that would clearly be embarrassing for them. There was an odd irony of all of what is going on for General Suchinda now, is that General Suchinda is the man who was the architect of a coup in 1991 that brought down Thailand's last democratically elected government. And at the time, General Suchinda said he acted with his colleagues in the military because the previous civilian government was simply too corrupt. And a lot of people in Thailand agreed with him. The last civilian government in Thailand was enormously corrupt. General Suchinda then announced that an investigation would begin of all of the previous cabinet members of the earlier government. And indeed, those investigations turned up evidence that a lot of the cabinet ministers and the and their deputies had been taking bribes, had been paid off, however you want to phrase it. General Suchinda then, through manipulations of the Constitution, was able later to become Prime Minister himself just last month. And to the dismay of Thais who wanted to believe General Suchinda about his intentions in sponsoring the coup last year, General Suchinda accepted into his government many of the same corrupt cabinet ministers that he had overthrown last year.
What's the mood in Bangkok today?
The mood is actually more tension than many of us expected. Last night there was the announcement that the king had brokered an agreement to end the demonstrations on the street and to end the violence. But despite that, despite a belief that people would go back to their business, go back to their homes, thousands of people poured into the streets again today, almost all of them repeating the call for General Suchinda to step down, many saying that what was decided on Wednesday night did not go nearly far enough. And Mr. Chamlong, the opposition leader, the pro-democracy leader, is himself saying that if there is not quick action by the government to live up to the agreement reached Wednesday night, the demonstrations will start all over again.
Do you think it's possible to have a negotiated settlement?
It's possible, but it will take real concessions on the part of General Suchinda, a man who is known for his stubbornness and who has certainly demonstrated it over the last several days. I don't know what to expect. I think there may be reason for pessimism, at least from the tone I'm seeing of people on the street today.
How deep does that pessimism go?
It's pessimism just for this evening. I've just come back from several hours on the street where people are incensed, not at their king. Their king really is a beloved man, but they are incensed that there is a resolution for the moment that does not end with the departure of General Suchinda. The feeling of absolute hatred on the streets of Bangkok towards General Suchinda is something I can't really get across to you. It's something you have to see for yourself and hear for yourself. But at this moment, unless General Suchinda steps down, I would fear for what will happen next week.
As an American correspondent, can you move freely through Bangkok? Any problems with that?
And you can. You periodically at this point come under gunfire, and there's been an awful lot of lying flat on the ground for the last several days as the soldiers open up their automatic weapons. But yes, there's relative freedom to get around. And the Thais who are participating in this in these demonstrations go out of their way to make sure that foreign correspondents get to see what they need to see. There's a feeling that the foreign correspondents are playing. You develop a certain pride in your role here because the Thais clearly believe the foreign correspondents are playing a significant role in making sure the world understands exactly what is going on here. And that, in turn, brings pressure on the Thai government to compromise.
Have you interviewed soldiers, too?
Yeah, no, we find many soldiers willing to talk to us. I think many soldiers are offended by what they're participating in. We see horrible brutality on the part of some of the soldiers. I mean, people being manhandled like you can't imagine. And you can tell that some of the young soldiers, some of the young officers in particular, aren't behind this, don't support what is happening here. And there have even been reports of mutinies within the armed forces, people who think the General Suchinda is acting in such a brutal fashion that they don't want to be part of it any longer.
How would you compare what the demonstrations look like in Thailand compared to demonstrations in this country? I don't know whether Los Angeles would be one to compare or some of the demonstrations during the civil rights movement in the 60s here.
I'm afraid I'm not old enough to remember much of the civil rights movement in the 60s, but I think there's a fascinating comparison between what has happened in Bangkok over the last several days and what happened in Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago. The Thai protesters have been quite clear that they will not support looting in the city of Bangkok. And indeed, if you tour the city today, you'll find almost no commercial structure that suffered any damage from really oftentimes wild demonstrations in the city. And we, some of us saw protesters marching past commercial structures, marching past houses, and making sure and yelling at their colleagues, these are the people, these are the people. Don't touch private property. Don't touch commercial buildings. If there is to be damage or destruction, make sure that that damage or destruction occurs only to the security forces, to the police, and to the army.
So what are you going to do today, and where will you be, and what will you be watching for?
I would tell you that normally we could get a good night's sleep under these circumstances, but it appears, or at least it has certainly been true over the last several days, that most of the big news happens late at night. So my plan for today is, or my plan for the evening is, in about an hour to head back out again for several more hours to see what's going on.
Well, Philip Sheehan, thank you for joining us on Fresh Air today.
Thank you.
Philip Sheehan is New York Times Southeast Asia correspondent. We spoke to him earlier today from Thailand. I'm Marty Moskowain, and this is Fresh Air.